Welcome everybody to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily, coming to you live on a Misery Monday. That's what we're calling it, folks. Misery Monday here at the Flipping Made Easy Studios. Your host, Sturch and Gooch, are back in the house. And of course, the misery wouldn't be complete without the most miserable man in Chop Sports, ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Palumbo.
Well, first of all, I don't know what... Fine morning. My coffee tasted great. Giants didn't get beat this over the weekend.
No, they were beat tonight, though.
The Cowboys lost. The Packers lost. I get to bust your balls here. Most of the games were shitty. My stink list got increased. And, what a gorgeous Monday here, Jay.
How are we doing over there, Gooch?
I'm not good, bro.
Not well.
Gooch is
even went to the reservoir and went to the pink hoodie.
Everybody, Jimmy's like, you need to be excited. You're doing a national show. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck right now. I'm miserable. The Packers lost. So many injuries. I just don't want to go on right now.
I mean, let's not get that crazy. Well, it is Thanksgiving week after all. We have a lot to be thankful for, specifically in 100% Chop Sports.
Like, I think the biggest thing you guys need to be thankful for is that you're in two shitty divisions. So even though your record's
of course,
I'm definitely grateful.
I'm very super grateful that the Cowboys played in the NFC East. But before we get into the
slate. Wait, one quick thing. You know what's so great about you? Even your toe hurts this morning. Like, I saw you limping.
Vicariously.
He actually was limping.
He's getting the vicarious toe injury.
It's my lower back, though.
Oh, everything hurts on me, too. And I'm preparing to go to war on Thursday, Turkey Day football, the Delta Variant Bowl 2021. I am a participant, and I will be waiting to see this kid Nick who beat my ass in fantasy. And I told him he's the worst team in the league, and he texted me, "Are you ready for that L today?" And I'm just like, funny.
Are you ready for this? I finally had a clean sweep in fantasy.
Well, good for you, because Packers I lost, and I said, "Good luck going over the middle on Thursday," because I'm gonna pop you right dead in your heart. He's like, "Dude, it's flag football." I'm like, "Yeah, not this time." But anyway.
Those days of doing that.
Yes.
Long.
I mean, you still play softball, so I mean, you're still active, sort
of. First of all, there's been the last time we all played the football thing, like five guys had injuries.
Yeah, I got recruited twice.
They couldn't hold up their kids anymore. So
twice last
careful.
Week to go play in a football game, and I was like, you. It was even you. I think it was Kevin. Kevin Piscott, Kevin Adams, or Kevin.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. We didn't follow through with that. That was a tournament in which I'm like, he's a guaranteed 3 games.
You want to dust off the old cleats?
3 games.
Fuck.
Like, 3 games. I'm playing one game.
The last time
9 in the morning.
The last time I played football, I had a. I still need surgery from that shoulder injury.
You'll be hungover from going. You'll probably go out. Oh, no, you got 2 kids.
What am I supposed to do on Wednesday night, honestly?
You're doing nothing.
I'm going to I'm going to just slug beers from holding my son here and telling Stella to knock it off doing whatever she's doing.
9 a.m., you're too old to be doing this.
I know.
You're going to look like, you're going to be like a young Flacco.
I do it because I need that competitive.
I'll also say that if I did go play, I would fucking dominate that game.
See, like, I don't want to hear that.
You said that.
I don't want to hear that because you're not doing it.
Based on your softball talk, I heard about dominating, and all you did was drop five
I think
balls.
If you just based on the way I play softball, you could kind of tell that I would dominate in football. Football is my sport. Softball is not.
No, you're injured. You're always hurt. It's over.
Every athlete at my age is always hurt.
Goodbye.
I think it's time to.
It's over, man.
I mean, look, I can't say nothing. I'm playing. You're not playing.
I'm gonna have trouble watching the Detroit Chicago game,
dude. Oh. God, like,
and I'm rooting for the Lions.
I think it's time.
Lions are my second favorite team.
I think it's time the NFL steps in. We'll get more into that on Wednesday when we pick that game. NFL's got to step in and get these guys off, because if Jared Goff doesn't go and now Justin Fields is hurt, so now we're getting backup against backup on Thanksgiving Day at 12:30. Nobody's going to watch. Everybody's going to watch.
But. Gooch, are you playing in the game? Are you playing for the Bears or the Lions on Thursday? You going to play for them?
No, I would never sign a contract with either of those teams.
Okay.
Before we get into everything else, I do want to pitch one more time that my friend Lindsay Sally is running the 2021 Family Gift Assistance Project. Basically, she's looking for people to adopt families and get them some gifts that are in need. You know, it's a really good cause. Again, I respect this more than I respect the bigger ones, the ones that are out there, like, because you never know where your gifts are going to go or anything like that. These go directly to the families, so be sure to go check that out. All the information is on our Facebook group right now. It's pinned to the top, so it's something you can't miss. Go check it out. Help my friend Lindsay do her thing. Before we get into the NFL slate, Jimmy, you are in big trouble, because if Rutgers would have showed up at all on Saturday, I would have a better feeling against Maryland this week. I don't have that feeling for Rutgers this week.
Maryland didn't show up either.
Correct, but Maryland just seems to be... A little better.
I was doing the show Nutcracker, listening to the Rutgers game on the radio backstage.
Who does the Rutgers broadcast?
Carlin.
There's pandemonium in Piscataway.
There was no. Yeah. I will tell you one thing. When I taped the game, I was pissed off at, you know, they have Rutgers, you know, seem lousy, blah blah blah. But then I watched the game. You ever do that? You watch a game afterwards, or you read a little few articles, and I'm like, first of all, this game is totally different in my mind than it was, you know. It was 7-0 with 3 minutes and 40 seconds to go in the third quarter. I thought Rutgers' defense played very well. Penn State is definitely on the stink list, for sure. They stink. Rutgers just doesn't have an offense right now. Penn State has a top 10 defense in the country. We couldn't move the ball.
And they stink.
But this game was not nearly as bad as I thought. Rutgers put pressure on the quarterback. Some of their touchdown passes the kid threw were like off his back foot. He just threw it in the end zone. Happened to be caught. I don't think it's as bad. That being said, the Maryland-Rutgers game is really like a pick'em kind of game. Both teams aren't really that good.
Are both teams in the same situation, win and bowl bound?
Yep.
Both teams are.
So we're talking about the Big Ten, and we're talking about Rutgers versus Maryland, and we got Michigan versus Ohio State coming up.
I'm just trying to keep it on a local front, but we did all
tell
see
you what, I tell you
Ohio
what,
State
I'll
drop.
I'll make a prediction.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I bet the Rutgers-Maryland game in New York market does just as well in the ratings.
I'll bet you that that's.
I will bet you that too. All that's right. You're out of your mind if you think that's going to happen.
About Washington.
That's
market.
The second straight week that you made a bad bet. Even though I'm kind of wishing that I didn't
put
make
that
the
down.
Bet.
Write that down in the New York market.
Circles over here. That's what
in
I do
in the New York City market.
All right, and we'll see.
And even I'll even say
what's the
only thing is we
got
to find out where to get those ratings.
Nielsen. Nielsen gives the ratings out, so ratings I'm very curious.
Ratings will be high.
Speaking of without
in New York
without. You know, without trying to segue too far off the football Monday theme of this thing, I have to touch on this, and I'm hoping that you saw it, Jimmy. But, bro, LeBron James, did you see it? The fight?
Yeah.
That guy thinking?
First of all,
what is
he's
his
such
name,
a,
first
how
of all?
Can
I don't
anybody,
even know his name.
He's such a punk. He does the thing, whoa, 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 and then the fight's going on, and he's... LeBron James was like, he was already at the restaurant.
You could do no right in that situation. If you fight and you act a crazy person, then...
Then you'll gain Jimmy Palumbo as a fan.
Oh, I'm sure that's what he's out
for. I mean,
for.
Right now...
He might
for
be.
What, this day?
You yeah, would
talk shit.
Day.
You would talk shit by Wednesday. No LeBron hater is going to be like, wow, I'm really glad. They're going to look for reasons.
Actually,
like, oh, look, a thug.
Actually,
a thug. He's actually a thug.
To be honest, I was driving home... from the Dallas debacle, from my dad's house to my house, and I heard about it. When I heard the phrase, LeBron James was ejected, I was like, okay, LeBron, okay. You know, like, that got me to be like...
It was such a
I guess you're
shot.
Fighting
elbow
for yourself.
To the face.
It was a punch. It was a punch right to the mouth, like right to the eye socket.
The guy was pissed.
Now, that guy, now listen, pissed. That guy... That almost caused another malice at the palace. It really did. You had the Detroit PA announcer saying, fans, stay in your seats.
You have a classic
like,
case of a guy
shit.
that 30 seconds before he flipped out was nose-to-nose with LeBron James and did nothing. The minute it was broken up, then all of a sudden he's going to cause a fucking scene.
I couldn't understand, he kept on running at LeBron, but LeBron was no... There was the guy in front of him was never LeBron because LeBron was gone because he's a wuss. So I feel like saying, this is really cool. Yeah. You're really angry, but you're not going after LeBron.
So what you would have liked LeBron
By
to
the
do
way,
is
the
to
Lakers,
be like, clear the court. We're going to fight. Is
no,
that what
LeBron,
you would have liked?
LeBron should have been right in the middle of that pile, bro. You don't hit a guy in
no,
the elbow. But listen,
I don't think
the guy's reaction
been.
Went too long.
Of course.
That first 15, 20 seconds,
when you
I'll
start,
give it to him.
When you
Once
start,
he realized LeBron's a pussy and he left, he should have got calmed down and it was.
When
it
you start pushing over your own coaches and players, like you look like an animal
yeah,
and you
got
to stop.
Don Zimmer vibes when that coach hit the deck yesterday.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Like, and he, the best part was, it was like pro wrestling. It was like pro wrestling. The guy was like, all right, I'm good.
Also, did you guys actually watch the entirety of that scene?
Yes.
Yeah,
I watched it 5 times trying to figure out how his eye got cut. Because he got hit in the mouth with the punch.
No, he got hit in the eye with the punch.
I know, I since learned that after watching it close on the slow-mo. But it looked like he wasn't bleeding when he was face-to-face with everybody. And then he got into this crazy melee. And then all of a sudden they show the camera
baby.
And his face is leaking blood.
That's why in wrestling, that's why in pro wrestling you cut your forehead because of the adrenaline. And then you just bleed more. So that's what happened.
Maybe
the
that's
adrenaline,
what he did.
The adrenaline kicked. And that boy just started bleeding like a stuck pig.
By the way, the Lakers came back and won the game.
What, in case anybody gives a shit,
the Lakers did. Westbrook went off in the fourth quarter.
Of course he did.
Another pussy. But anyway, and I don't even like saying that.
That's definitely not what Russell Westbrook. He's not a pussy. You can say what you want. He can't hit a three. He has no jumper, but he's definitely not a pussy.
Jack chiming in. The best part was when he was talking to the female, like, I'm good. And then took back off running after the guy. Unbelievable. Scott Simmons coming in. Looked a bit less of a punch and more like he was aggressively trying to get his hand out of it.
I'm glad someone said it.
So basically, he's backing LeBron here on the play itself. Yeah. That's fine.
AD.
I'm not saying it was a sucker punch. I'm saying that's what happened.
And apparently, as soon as it happened, AD said he was right there. He said LeBron leaned in and said, oh, shit, my bad, dude. And the guy kind of took to his apology at first and then all of a sudden flipped out when he
saw his own blood and went
nuts. Dave, more importantly, you don't think he should be suspended for the Knicks game on Tuesday night, do you? The Lakers play the Knicks Tuesday at the Garden.
Oh, LeBron's not getting suspended.
Bring it.
What? He's not getting suspended.
Jay Silverberg coming in. Kayfabe, Dave. Oh, that's
but if they basically were playing, if they were playing Utah?
I'm surprised they even fucking ejected him, honestly, because it wasn't that egregious on LeBron's part.
Elbow to the face?
It was a punch. Happens in every single game.
On a free throw?
Happens in every single game.
No,
it doesn't. The guy hooked him up.
So Jay Silverberg getting mad at me saying kayfabe. And if you guys, the non-wrestling fans out there, don't know what that means that I'm exposing the business by saying that's where guys cut themselves. I'm so sorry, folks. Wrestling is as real as it gets. Don't let anybody tell you different. Let's get into the NFL. Let's start with Gucci's misery first, and then we'll get into my misery. Unfortunately, as he's trying to get zen for this one, as Jimmy brings up the New York Post for his box scores, the Vikings somehow, someway, beat the Green Bay Packers 34-31, as he just covers his whole entire camera. 34-31. Actually, you know what I'm thinking about now? Now that I'm looking at Jimmy, he was covering, I don't know, now I'm like thrown off. Yeah, so you had the wrong camera selected the whole time. I'm sitting there, why is this happening? Why you have the thing? So go select.
Do you remember before when I moved the camera? I was like,
I know,
that look better?
I know. And now it's going to look all weird when he comes back, but we'll see. It's so weird. No, the camera's fine. Anyway, I'm off on a tangent here because I'm a perfectionist. Anyway, Jimmy's nice and frozen, and now I have his schnoz just looking right at me.
There you go.
I don't know. He says, there you go, and I still see Jimmy frozen. There we are. There he is. 7:06 right in front of your face. All right, so the Green Bay Packers, somehow, some way, do not get it done. Now, we all said it. I said it on Friday. Spread was a little low. Kind of felt like different, you know, different division game vibes.
Ended up closing at one.
Yeah, so it was obviously the spread was low. The Packers on the road scoring at will. I don't understand. I'll still never get it. Me and my dad are watching it and I'm looking at him. I'm like the Packers have one guy to keep your eye on, and that's Davante Adams. He was running free a couple of times. I'm like, they're like, you have one job, defensive scheme, find 17, and they can't do it. The Packers are scoring at will. Gooch, tell me what went wrong here. Like, I don't understand this one. This one was a little bit different. It was a different feel from the jump.
Yeah, it was the first half. We couldn't get anything going offensively. It was like one of those situations where going into the last couple of weeks, the Packers offense obviously struggled. Jordan Love against the Chiefs and then Rodgers against the Seahawks in the first half. First half of this game, he looked like it was more of the same, but then in the second half, they righted the ship. The offense I'm happy about, but the defense, which we came into the game as third overall defense in scoring and yards allowed in the league, and we just didn't stop anybody. We did well against the run, but Justin Jefferson, too many big plays. There was penalties.
He's so good.
Where Kirk Cousins threw a pick, it was negated by roughing the passer. There was Eric Stokes
dropped
interception.
That was a good one. That was a good roughing the passer.
Oh, no, it was the roughing the passer, but it's these situations where that had zero bearing on the actual play itself. If the guy just lowers his pad level on the hit, it's no penalty. You understand what I'm saying?
Can we talk about one thing? I know we're actually diving into the game itself, but did anybody, and I know this was a good, I don't know how much it's going to be discussed, the timeout call that Rodgers tried to get, but they snapped it anyway. If anybody is watching Aaron Rodgers, which they should be, either watching the ball or Rodgers, and they see timeout, they're going to quit on the play. And that play was easily the easiest touchdown they scored all day because the Minnesota guy was like, oh what the hell? It was supposed to be a timeout.
Well, no, that's not.
You have to be granted the timeout.
The guy that did that wasn't covering Davante Adams. The guy that was covering Davante Adams got smoked by a double move. Patrick Peterson may have been looking in the backfield after he saw his guy burnt, and the what the fuck was that might have been just, how come you got burnt so bad? Because I think that the secondary wasn't really privy to what was going on in the backfield. Maybe they were.
But honestly, that's
on the player. Because unless you hear a whistle, you got to play football.
Of course.
If you're standing around, look, that could have
turned. It was like a pump fake.
That could have turned bad for us, too. It could have been a fumbled snap. There was a lot that could have gone wrong. Correct. You don't want to sit here and try and play that game if you're the quarterback.
Correct.
But a couple
of things I see. The Packers, you know, 8 penalties for 92 yards. And actually, Cousins, which I believe you guys kind of bash him along the way. I think he had the game of his life, 24 for 35.
Oh, he had a great game.
When you look at the box score,
you got Jefferson on Minnesota, eight catches for 169 yards. That's the difference in a game.
And a shout out to the Packers media who interviewed Rodgers as if he played a bad game. Like, Rodgers almost threw for 400 yards.
I can point to three.
I don't understand it.
Three separate plays in the game. The Mason Crosby, another missed field goal. Can't get it done on special teams again. He's got 8 missed field goals in the last fucking 3 weeks. It's insane. Or since the Cincinnati game. 8. You hear me?
Yeah.
8. Can't win football games when you're missing field goals that you need to a 32 yarder. And then the roughing call, and then the pick, drop.
You know
pick.
What? It's just a bad loss. Minnesota stinks, and you can't if you're claiming to be the top 2 teams in the NFL, you can't lose to Minnesota.
And let the record show that Cooper Rush could beat the Vikings and Rodgers
couldn't. Teams in the NFL. And this is the NFL these days. Stop with that. We understand, right?
It's a division.
Jordan
game.
Love threw a touchdown against the Chiefs and Dak didn't.
Very true. Very true.
So
good play.
It doesn't mean
good
Jordan
play.
Loves
no, that was a good one, though. That was fun. But anyway, so on your scale of like 1 to 10 now, with the stuff coming out, Jenkins is down now for the year. Jones is probably still a couple weeks away from being back. Aaron Rodgers now starting to talk about how this toe injury is starting to
beat
him up.
This is what I'm waiting for. Because what happened to when Rodgers was standing in the tunnel during the game? So there was about 16 seconds to go. The other team had the ball. Rodgers went into the tunnel early. And then there was like a couple stoppages of play, so the camera went right on Aaron Rodgers standing in the tunnel.
Shout out to him needing 5 security guards around him, by the way.
Right?
I was like, what?
I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, here we go. Cue the mainstream media talking shit about Aaron Rodgers going into the halftime.
No, everybody does it.
This is what happens when you have an injury, right, and you need treatment. And they don't
get
in
there
fast. Gotta go into the fucking
locker
room.
It's like me in high school during the lunch line. I 1,000% left 8 seconds before the bell to make sure I got on that lunch line fast. I needed food. You know, he needed treatment. He got to get out there. That's what I think.
I think that should go on more in the NFL. I can't stand the opposite.
I'm actually surprised. I thought I was going to hear a little bit of shit from the two of you based on this situation.
No.
I'm glad.
No, he's one of the best players in the game.
No.
You got. I hate when a guy's cheering on the sidelines. And he's got. It says he's injured. He's on the side. Like, why aren't you at some yoga facility getting your 100%. Knee? Like, why are you? Like, I don't need.
Oh,
you
this
on
guy
the
ruled out with an ankle and he's standing on the sidelines.
Stay home. Stay
That's
at
why
the facility.
I knew Aaron Jones wasn't going to be too bad because he sat there the entire game. If he had an ACL, he wouldn't have been on the sideline. Randall Cobb piggybacked him off the field into the locker room after the win 2 weeks ago. So Aaron Jones,
I still
would be
can't
fine.
Get over Randall Cobb when it's third down, third and Cobb. I said it out loud last night at my dad's house. I was like, third and Cobb, because here it comes. You know, the Vikings
he's got
defense.
9 catches, 7 are for a first down this year.
Rodgers
the other two
injury
are touchdowns.
Could affect him though. This is something we got to keep
of
an
course,
eye on.
Of
oh, 100%. Now look, he's not a spring chicken.
But he can
run still, right? He can get out of the pocket. We've seen him score touchdowns this year already. That I'm not worried about. What I'm worried about now is you have Aaron Donald coming. You know what I mean? Now if that guy gets penetration up the middle, Rodgers is not going to be able to get out of there with a bad toe.
He's going to look like Ben Roethlisberger.
He's going to look like Roethlisberger.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but
It's a bad injury, Tony.
It's definitely a bad injury. We're going to have to lean a little bit more on the running game, which I expected down the stretch anyway as the weather changes. Needing Aaron Jones back, needing to get Bakhtiari back is even more
losing
paramount.
Losing Jenkins for the year
because
stinks.
Elgton Jenkins is arguably been the most versatile / best lineman in the league this year just based on he's played 4 different positions and he's only given up 1 sack. That's almost unheard of.
Listen, I know all about the offensive line shuffle. The Cowboys did it last year. You know, like, you got to put your best guy. We swung Zach Martin out to tackle. Like, there was a lot of things you got to do on the fly because, you know, lo and behold, now you're down another lineman.
The list of the Packers injuries is astounding right now.
Cowboys too, bro.
It's
almost like the Giants the first 6 weeks.
No, it's way worse than the Giants. And the thing about
the Giants didn't have a receiver on their roster at one point.
Look,
it's the truth.
The Packers lost 3 of their 5 offensive linemen. They're without 2 of their starters in the secondary. They're without
quarterback receiver league.
They're top 3 pass rushers. Let's not. Their number one running back, Devontae Adams, had the COVID. Aaron Rodgers has turf toe. The Packers are beat up bad right now.
Well, the bye comes after the Rams, so get through the Rams. Listen, the Packers are 8-3. You know what I mean? They're not out of this by any stretch. They're in fact probably now they dropped it to 2 because the Cardinals won again. But like, they're still very much in the playoff picture, and they're still very much they can silence a lot of people if they just go out and beat the Rams.
That wasn't a great loss. There's no such thing as a moral victory, especially when you're favored.
Unless you play the Bucks on opening night.
There's no such thing as any of that, but when you lose a division game on the road to a team that's desperate, that's probably looking like a back end of the playoff team,
yeah.
Like Minnesota has the talent offensively. That offense is as good as any in the league when they're going. You have to admit that, right? Look at the numbers.
I said if Dalvin Cook is rolling downhill and you have the guys like Jefferson and Thielen going nuts, like, come on, who's going to stop you? And now they have like Conklin, who all of a sudden starting to become a legitimate tight end and a threat. So the Packers had their hands full. They got a lot of injuries, but the Packers are still 8-3. And I'm not about to sit here and blow the Packers because, look, truth be told, right now, I'll say it on the record, okay? Mr. Joseph hits the field goal. Me, my dad, and my brother, ecstatic. All right? Like, we're all rooting against the Packers. Of course,
that's the way it's supposed to be now.
It's supposed to be that way.
Dave actually admitted this morning that he's rooting for the Giants tonight.
Yes, 100%, because that's what needs to happen.
I think by next Monday, the Vikings could be a game back of the Packers in the loss column by next Monday.
That could very well be a thing. If the Vikings get it done, they'll be 6-5,
and
the Packers will be 8-4. That's going to be a lot closer than people think. Let's move on to America's quote. We'll put this in quotes, game of the week, because it absolutely was not. It did not live up to the billing. I actually thought that, you know, being that this hype was being built all over the media all week long, the Dallas Cowboys are the best team in football, and the Dallas Cowboys are going to slow down. The Dallas Cowboys aren't going to slow down.
I don't know what you were watching.
I mean, the TV out in the lobby. Yeah, that was definitely out there. There was guys like Clark.
I thought you were reading Dave's Twitter.
No. My Twitter is on fire still, by the way. I will shout out myself. I have a lot of Cowboys support over there. But look, this game comes and goes, right? I'm scrapping it quick because you have to, short week. But the Dallas Cowboys, to me, played their best defensive game they've played all year because of the juggernaut that they faced in Patrick Mahomes in that offense. Tyreek Hill is ridiculously fast and stupid to cover. Travis Kelce, they got Clyde Edwards-Helaire back yesterday. Their offense is clicking. The Chiefs are nobody to sleep on right now. And if you think, oh, well, their defense, like Keith Ernst last night on my Jersey Boys recording was saying that the Chiefs defense is shit. And I'm like, I don't know what you've been watching the last couple of weeks, but the Chiefs defense is finally starting to turn on, and they just shut down the Dak Prescott show big time. Like, train derailed. Couldn't get nothing done and going.
I thought the Giants played the Chiefs better than that game was.
I agree with you.
The Cowboys got their ass kicked. The game was never really in doubt.
No, that's not true at all.
And even in the fourth quarter when you finally...
The Cowboys could have...
They came in.
There was so many momentum.
They methodically went downfield.
Who?
They had one of those...
Who methodically went down the field?
In the fourth quarter?
Who methodically went down the field? Which team are you even talking about? No. The Chiefs?
First of all.
It's not a thing.
In the fourth quarter, when they needed a big stop, they didn't get it, man. The
Cowboys gave up 19 points to one of the highest-powered offenses in the league. You should win that game. There was blocked punts. There was all sorts of shit that the Cowboys went in your favor. They picked the balls off. Mahomes was picked off twice. We strip-sacked them. I don't have to talk over a million miles an hour, but the Cowboys' defense played good. The Cowboys' defense played good.
Wait a minute. In the fourth quarter.
For this one.
In the fourth quarter, did the not Chiefs get 3 or 4 first downs when it was a 10-point game and go all the way to the 35?
Yes, and guess what the final score was? 19-9. The Cowboys lost by 10.
The greatest player ever in the history of the game, Micah Parsons, had 35 sacks. He had the best player ever. He's the new Lawrence Taylor. Fourth quarter, Chiefs, bip, bip, bip. Didn't hear his name once, and I was watching for that. The game was not close. The score was close. The game was not close. I think they got their ass kicked.
Had the Cowboys.
And I still think, though, the Cowboys are in a shitty division. They have a very good team, and they'll be fine.
Had the Cowboys capitalized on one of their many momentum-changing plays, where you have a pick of Mahomes, where you have a strip sack of Mahomes, when you have a missed field goal from one of the most accurate kickers in the game.
Chiefs stink.
If the Cowboys would have taken advantage twice of 4 opportunities, the Cowboys win this game. That's how much the Cowboys could have won this game. With it being the way it was. The Cowboys lost by 10. That's 2 possessions.
I give all the credit in this game to Steve Spagnuolo.
100%.
Dialed
Boy
up
Wonder,
the blitz
Boy Wonder,
again.
Kellen Moore didn't have a clue as to what to do
and
against
what happens,
Steve Spagnuolo.
This is
not
what
a clue.
Happens. This is what happened when Dallas... Look, losing Cooper was one thing, but then losing CeeDee Lamb in that game... Once they got to stop playing the deep shell coverage because they don't have to worry about anything up top from Dallas,
100%.
They played man coverage and they brought the house every single play, just like they did against Green Bay. And you got to credit the defensive coordinator in that situation. Listen, just made things difficult.
It's a quarterback receiver league. Cowboys lost their two receivers and they're two very, very, they're not as good as your boy in Green Bay, but two very good wide receivers. And one was hurt during the week with the COVID stuff is out. Once you lose a receiver during the middle of the game, that's what really, you know, turned the Cowboys into the Giants.
My theory is, and this is a true fact, Noah Brown and Cedric Wilson were targeted more than CeeDee Lamb when CeeDee Lamb was in the game. That's my problem, right?
Well, this is what happens when you only have one guy to take out, and that's what the Chiefs did.
Gallup had himself. There was one play. Gallup could have been gone in the first play where the cornerback slipped. He was gone.
But
he
you understand gone. What I'm it was saying. Overthrow the reason by why CeeDee wasn't targeted as often is because it's like, okay, we don't have to worry about Cooper. If they're going to beat us, it's not going to be CeeDee Lamb.
Correct.
So what is Lamb's prognosis?
It's a concussion. So I don't know if
Thursday, it sucks.
I don't know if you can clear concussion protocol in 3 days. I don't know. They let Daniel Jones play within a heartbeat.
He didn't even come back out in the second half at all. CeeDee Lamb, was he on the sideline at all?
No.
So you
rule him out. When you're concussion, you're ruled out.
You're ruled out, but you're sometimes allowed to go back and watch the game.
I've never seen that.
Is that NFL protocol?
They just take your helmet away. What? No, NFL protocols?
To play on Thursday or Sunday.
You got
to
pass like a independent doctor.
Jack is chiming in asking, is Kellen Moore still the hottest in the league for next season for a head coaching spot? Here's my problem with Kellen Moore. And I'll get more into this. I have a podcast to do it. I have the forum All About the Star on this network. And I have like 18 podcasts on the Blog and Boys Podcast Network. Kellen Moore, he has this tendency to get cute at the wrongest of times. Okay. The Cowboys are rolling for finally, right? They got a 1st and 10. And here comes a reverse whatever. And I'm like, where are you going? Like, why is that the call right now? That happens way too much.
I'm going to say, I don't know that Kellen Moore was the hottest. I think he was in the conversation.
Well, here's the problem. Here's why he's the hottest. Because the Cowboys were averaging 30-plus a game, 35-plus a game, 40 at one point, 40 points a game. So, obviously, Boy Wonder has to be the one calling all the plays, and they're executing.
The guys that get that title, we'll call it the hottest, are the guys that win. So if Kellen Moore went on and they had the number one offense and they won a Super Bowl, like Eric Bieniemy still hasn't gotten a head coaching job,
which
in the
is
league. And he's been running the Chiefs offense for the last 5 years. So
I got a question: Those double reverse things? Is it me? I feel like they never were. Like they ever. Worked in 1984.
I'll tell you when they work. They work when
at
the Packers
goal line,
are
maybe
when the Packers are down 7 after just being down 14. They give up they score a touchdown. They kick the ball off, and now we need to stop. And then that's when those plays work. When we need to stop somebody,
I tell you what.
All of a sudden, when you sell out too much,
there was only one time where they gave it. They gave it to Pollard, and he does the okie doke, like the fake. Did you see the fake that he put on and he kept it because everybody and their mother thought Dak was going to get that pitch in the slot, right? He fakes it and takes it for 40 yards, his longest run of the year. Sometimes those plays work, but it's all depending on when you call those plays. You can't stop a drive by getting cute with a trick play. You can't do it. If you're running the ball down their throat, run the ball down their throat. If you're passing it all over the field, pass all over the field. Do not stall your own drive. So with Kellen Moore, yes, I think he's going to be a candidate, but he sure as shit ain't the hottest candidate out there right now. The Cowboys have a short week. This game gets scrapped. The Cowboys are 7-3. So for anybody who's talking shit of a 7-3 team in this league in particular, where everybody, according to Jimmy, quote, stinks, because there is no team that right now can beat all the other teams. There's no team out there that could do it. Scoop hit me up right after the Packer game. He goes, are the Cowboys the best team in the league, considering what we just watched? And I was like, I've been trying to tell everybody that as a joke, right? And then you go into the Kansas City game and you throw up a stinker. That's not good football, okay? And shout out to my brother who was, I feel like if I'm the most optimistic person in the world about the Cowboys, he was saying that they were going to win that game pretty much until there was like no time left on the clock. He's like, they're still going to, let's still do it. We're going to still do it. And I'm just like, I don't see it. And it's unfortunate because I'm usually that guy. Like, oh yeah, we got a shot. We got Dak effing Prescott. He's going to be the guy. Nothing was working. Nothing was working. And I think the Cowboys now have to do the same thing they just did in a losing effort to the Broncos and beat up on a team that they should beat up on. The Raiders are losers of 3 straight. We'll get into the Raiders game in a couple minutes, but the Cowboys have to go out and win. If the Cowboys lose on Thanksgiving, you're hearing it first on a Monday morning, November the 22nd. If the Cowboys lose on Thanksgiving, we will be sweating out the NFC East to the Philadelphia Eagles in December. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at.
Well, I think if the Cowboys lose, you get injured in your game in the morning.
It's going to be rough.
Sore, miserable, eating turkey, and you have kids will be crying.
I don't eat turkey. Yelling.
It'd be a perfect Thanksgiving.
It is what it is. That game is over. We'll go to one more local game, obviously.
Let's go Vegas, baby.
Obviously, right before the break, we'll take a look at the Jets and the Dolphins, not in a full extent because this game was atrocious. I still don't back up the coach's decision to put Flacco in there. There's no reason for it. There's literally no reason for it.
He didn't play that bad,
though. I'm not saying he played bad, but what is the end game when you put in Joe Flacco right now?
I agree with that.
You're going to be the start. You're the future of this team. You're not. You know what I mean? You're not. The guy who is the future is Zach Wilson. He's hurt. The other guy who could potentially be something of a future quarterback, Mike White, is also not being played in this game. Why?
I agree with
that. What are you trying to do? You're trying to win the Super Bowl right now, Jets? Is that what's happening right now? Because right now, you look like shit, and you just got starched by a really bad Miami Dolphin team. The Jets are pathetic. So that's why my son will never be a Jets fan. I have no issue with
Flacco
ever
being named the starter. Why not?
I feel bad for your kid, Miles. You know? Even Miles was like, hey, I bet he didn't poop well during the game. He was not pooping properly.
Yeah, he kept giving me these faces.
Did Flacco throw five picks yesterday?
No.
No. So why not start him?
The decision to start him over any youth right now is dumb.
I agree.
It's dumb.
I can see they were 5-4.
What are you doing to Joe Flacco's career? Honestly, you're going to resurrect that shit?
My take is this. You know what you're doing? Maybe not for Joe Flacco's career, but when you have a quarterback that's been in there in big playoff games, won a Super Bowl, and then you got young kids, like their entire team is first and second year players, and they have no one to turn to in the huddle. Now you look and it's Joe Flacco, and it's like a guy that has experience. So in-game situations, he's almost like a coach on the field for a lot of these young guys. For the Jets, that's where I think they're going with it. He does give them a better chance than Mike White to win at this point, I think. Look at the Buffalo game.
But I'm saying, why are the Jets under the mentality, like, I'm not saying that you go out any Sunday and not win, right? Because that's everybody's job is to win.
They're not going to blow the games
out. I'm not saying they're going out there blowing the games.
Throw games out here.
But they got to know what they got, man. They got to know what they got, and they're never going to know if they keep putting Joe Flacco out there.
Here's the thing. I think that they kind of do know what they have with Mike White. He's not a starter. He's not going to be a starter in this league. He's a backup quarterback, and they got Zach Wilson. If he was healthy, Zach Wilson plays, no doubt about it. But right now, he's not. So Joe Flacco is like an extension of the coaching staff, even though he's only been there 2 weeks. It's more so the experience.
Coming in from Nick Shine, Jets, one of our resident, probably the best Jets fan, biggest Jets fan we have in Chop Sports. Two words, Elijah Moore. Yes, he's starting to turn it up. He is. And you know what, though? It's unfortunate because we're not getting the best look at Elijah Moore because, again, all backup quarterbacks within the last month of football. So, and he's doing this with backup quarterbacks. Good for him. But, yeah, let's take a little break because I need to towel off because that Cowboy game got me rolling. And I just knew, Jimmy called this morning saying, like, hey, man, I'm on my way. I'm like, nah, just turn around, man. I can't do this today. Not today, Jimmy.
I think this is the best show we've done in a long time.
Yeah, here we go. So let's take a break, and we'll come back with the rest of the NFL slate. And guess what, folks? The New York Giants did not lose a football game on Sunday. Yes. But they'll probably lose tonight. We'll see.
Hey, Chop Sports family, it's Jimmy Palumbo here. I am doing a stand-up show on November 27th, Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend at 7:30 p.m. at the Carteret Performing Arts and Event Center with great comedian Mike Marino. Phone number 877-849-2722 for tickets. Again, 877-849-2722, November 27th, 7:30. Jimmy Palumbo and Mike Marino live from Carteret, Central New Jersey's in the house.
What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I got a question for you. Have you ever dreamt about flipping a house or buying an investment property? I know I have. There's a reason why house flipping is out of reach for most people, and that's because of a lack of information. Flipping Made Easy is for people like you who feel drawn to the world of house flipping, but they don't have a clue as to where to start. Check out flippingmadeeasy.com. Here, you'll find comprehensive and easy to understand information about every stage of the house flipping process. You'll receive access to millions of houses ripe with flipping potential. Hundreds of expert guidance explained through research articles and easy to understand video content. And thousands of vendors for all of your house flipping needs. Subscribe to flippingmadeeasy.com and become part of the flipping community. Right now, if you use the promo code CHOP, you'll receive a free t-shirt and a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's flippingmadeeasy.com.
We got really excited for, you know, I'll never forget those texts. I felt like
we're
I was
back. We're back.
This is it. Kemba, Kemba. Yeah. The one text that you sent me was just the basically their starting lineup. Kemba, baby, Kemba. We're talking about the Knicks over the break. They're stinking out loud again. They win a couple games here and there, but then they throw up what they threw up last night, which was an absolute stinker. So Chris is back from the John, and we are back here on the Chop Sports Daily Show here, coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy Studio in Mattawan, New Jersey. Of course, I hope you guys are all good out there. Thank you for watching, sharing the stream, getting all that good shit out there. If you want your comment 1,000% to be seen, go on YouTube, check that out, or you can deal with Facebook's little jargon where you have to give access to your account. Knicks gross equals Mark Esposito, who is Scoop right now. Scoop Espo is one of the co-hosts of the Cross Court Cast. Really good debut. Two shows that are doing good. They're starting to give Jimmy Palumbo a run for his money as far as the ratings are concerned. But here we go now, and downloads, and I know that's going to chap Jimmy. So the game that was most frequent in our minds, obviously the Pittsburgh Steelers fall short to the Los Angeles Chargers. They lose 41-37 on Sunday Night Football. I fell asleep right after the Mike Williams touchdown, so then I caught up and I saw the rest of it. Great outing for Ben Roethlisberger, you know, being as old and brittle as he is, he's still trying to sling that ball. Najee Harris, you see him get punched in the face or elbowed in the face?
No, I was watching Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, my God. First, I don't know how you guys do it. I don't know.
No, I had the game on the computer low, and honestly, this was my own decision. Ashley left.
She went home early,
and I was done with football. After the 1 o'clock, I watched the Cowboys
game.
Maybe
I'm just a psychopath.
And I loaded the graphics up during my miserable...
Saw that because I went to do it last night. I'm like, oh, this...
Are you telling me now that Ashley's learned a lesson that the minute the Packers lose, she should just go home? There's no reason to stay.
I become quite inconsolable.
I don't like talking to anybody. Honestly, I handled it well. I did too. I'm better at this now than I've ever been in my life, where I compartmentalize much better.
You're 39 years old. You should be able to handle it.
We just talked about when the Packers lost, I think I was 13.
To Jason Garrett on Thanksgiving.
I was going through changes in my life. Okay. You know, man, boy to a man type changes.
I
was just not capable of handling things. I have an uncle that never watched a down of football in his entire life that came to my house on Thanksgiving and just purposely cheered against the Packers for no reason.
He's my favorite uncle.
Well,
guess what? He's no longer with us.
He's not my uncle. He's still alive. father, it's my mother's brother. I'm putting out family.
Wow, we're just really going out there.
My father has banned him on Thanksgiving.
That's great.
See, that's
and
a
during
great
any
move.
Packer games.
Great move.
Like, but no, actually, they're playing the pack.
But
Cowboys.
Look, if you're, I listen, my boy, like, one of my best friends is Greg. You've met Greg, right? He's a big 49er fan. He always asks, like, hey, I'm going to come over and watch the Cowboy game. I'm like, no.
If you're a fan of another team, or if you're not, and your objective is to just piss me off,
right,
and that's what your goal is, well, don't be surprised when I'm pissed off and I don't like you.
Right.
It's that simple. You achieved your goal. Now we don't fuck with you no more.
Back in the day when the Yankees in 96 and 97, they were kicking ass. I was in the city at the time. I went out with three or four guys that were diehard Yankee fans, but one guy was like this. He was an actor, and he was kind of just like, he wasn't really a sports fan. He would be trying to talk to us in like the eighth inning, 3-3 game against whatever. And like, he would be like,
so how's your portfolio? What?
Yeah, no, that's what happens was like, when Ashley's sitting next to me. She'll be like, did you watch the cat video I sent you? I'll be like, it's 3rd and 6.
You can't.
I love you, Ash, but it's 3rd and 6.
I think there should be a course for people like girlfriends or boyfriends to know. Hey, like, anytime during third down, you shouldn't say anything, ever.
Nick Shine coming in. I don't even know if I should read this on the air. I think it's
no,
pretty.
You can.
All right. Well, it says Nick Shine chiming in. Chris is not getting it up after a Packers loss. In Michael Kay's voice, see ya. And that's Ashley getting right out of Dodge. Like, nothing that you can do right now is donezo.
But I think that might just be because I'm 40 though. But I nothing to do with the Packers.
I think if you went to the doctor and he says, "What's going on?" He says, "I couldn't get it going." Like, oh, the Packers lost. Oh, that's no problem. Just take 2 Advil. That's a legitimate medical. That's backing up the science right there.
Yeah,
Packers
absolutely.
Win big. You would have been like, you know.
Yeah.
You still might have
had a Diggler out there.
It's go time. Remember that one scene? Oh, boy. Anyway, so this back to this game, at least. It puts the, I think the Chargers are 7-4 now. Or am I wrong?
You're maybe wrong.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, they're up there with the Chiefs.
No, they
right
had
now.
Their bye.
Okay, fine. So they're up there with the Chiefs right now in first place in AFC West. That remains to be a fun division to watch. The Steelers, I was thinking to myself last night, I was like, if the Steelers would have won last night, right, and been 6-3-1, Could anybody in the world say that they had the Steelers at 6-3-1 after 10 games with Ben Roethlisberger just kind of being prehistoric behind center? I just didn't see it, but I'm like, wow, they're right there.
I thought that they were going to be a better team than they are.
Yeah.
Admittedly, yeah. I think I had the Steelers, like, you know, they're definitely a playoff team to me.
I think that's Steelers. They're not going to do anything.
Right, we'll see.
But I don't expect
a team
them to
that
do
is,
much, but
in fact, dead in the water is Pete Carroll's Seattle Seahawks. I don't think I've ever seen a team that play this bad under Pete Carroll with a Russ Wilson as their quarterback. They lose to Colt McCoy and the Arizona Cardinals.
No Kyler, no problem.
No
again.
Hopkins. They're 2-1. No, they're Chase Edmonds.
2-1 right now. And look, we have all three of the teams that we had ranked ahead of them because we both had them at 4 in our power rankings. All three of the teams that were ranked ahead of them all lost.
Yeah.
So by default, right now, Arizona Cardinals are firmly entrenched back into the number one spot of the Chop Sports power rankings. And they deserve to be. Look, they won 2 out of 3 without their quarterback, who's arguably an MVP candidate. I think that has since left the scene because he hasn't played in 3 weeks. But Kyler Murray has been balling out, and without him, they still are 2-1.
I'll never forget
two division wins.
Colt McCoy in like 2015. Yeah, 2015. Monday Night Football. He was starting for the Washington Redskins at the time on Monday night, and I was like, it's Colt McCoy. It's fine. The Cowboys got this shit. Lit us up, right? Like, and here he is 6 years later, still doing his thing, still winning football games. Shout out to Colt McCoy. He is my new favorite journeyman in the league, and I'll be pulling for him if the Cowboys are, you know, in his future endeavors. You know what I mean? Like, whatever he winds up doing.
There was a stat where Colt McCoy is the first quarterback in the Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson era to win 2 straight seasons on the road in Seattle. I think I read that. Last year, he was the Giants quarterback in, like, December when they beat Seattle 13-9. And then this year, he did it again with Arizona. Was that game even in Seattle yesterday? That's what I was trying to look at.
No, it was in Arizona.
So I'm not sure what the stat is, but there is a weird Colt McCoy, Pete Carroll stat. And
speaking of
the Seahawk thing, you know, eventually, you know, it has to run its course. I mean,
I think it has.
You can't always, not every team could be like the Steelers, and Tomlin's been coaching there since 67. You know, eventually.
He even coached there before Cowher, after Cowher, all that.
Like, yeah. I look at Tomlin, I'm like, matter of fact, they had to interview him without his hat on. And I was like, he's an old man. Like, what's this guy still coaching?
That hat makes
and
it youthful.
And the Steelers never suck. As if Seahawks were getting to that level, but it's over now.
Well, speaking of stats, there's a couple of people that are bringing up stats in the chat. Hawaii Mike up early. He actually puts his pronunciation of his name in his thing. Is that right? Oh my god!
This is what we were talking about.
Yeah, we were talking about this in pre-show. The Packers and the Cowboys are both 7-3. No, that's not true. The Packers are 8-3. All losses coming on the same week. So we have not had a week here at Chop Sports where one of us won and one of us lost. It's been either all misery or all happy. So on that day, next week could be you know what's funny? This week could be the week where, this will be the first week where the Cowboys will play on Thursday for Thanksgiving, and then we'll talk about a Cowboy win or loss, and you have not suffered a win or loss yet.
No. The Packers beat the Cardinals on a Thursday as well. So
I'm wrong.
Friday. That was episode 1 of the Packers Pulse, baby.
Scoop Espo saying the AFC North, everybody's over 500. That's insane. So that's a good division, Jimmy. Not everybody stinks. A good division is the AFC North where all the teams are over 500.
And I think the AFC West, all the teams are at least 500, correct?
You know what? I had them, the AFC North, I have, but you know what? I just put the Steelers into stink category because I think they stink.
The AFC West, all teams are 500 at least. And also, I want to mention this before we get off the Arizona game. Mm. You got to shout out James Conner. This dude resurrected his career in Arizona.
Guy beat cancer, man.
Leads the NFL with 13 touchdowns right now.
He's balling out.
Is he going to break that record? No, but
I don't think so. But the Cardinals are 9-2, and they're the number one seed, and that's where we're at. So a game that I thought the Jaguars would have a fighting chance, do not have a fighting chance. Those guys are awful. And what's embarrassing most about this is that entire crowd last night in Jacksonville was red. The 49ers absolutely took over the Jaguar Stadium. As they do, they travel well. They're almost like a secondary America's team. Like, the Niners are there as a whole nation fan base. They're everywhere.
Anytime a big city on either coast plays down in Florida, it's always because that's where everybody's moving to.
It happens in L.A. too, though. It happens in all these posh cities where you think that there's no reason for, put it this way, there's no rabid fan base for the Miami Dolphins in Miami. There might be some, but they don't sell out games. It's the same. Anywhere where there's a nice weather team, where they're kind of doing other things. Look, Dallas is the same way, too, because the stadium is such an attraction. Green Bay, too. A lot of these teams.
Do they have stats?
I don't feel like there's ever any other fans of any other team when Green Bay's home. I feel like it's illegal.
That's the vibe.
You know what it is? People want to go there.
It's such a sight to go watch a football game.
They go there like they're going to Radio City Music Hall to see the tree.
Yeah. Right.
That's why I went. I was like, oh.
But in this case, it's because the Jaguars don't have any fans.
But does the NFL have stats on who is the Cowboys are the best draw on the road? With the
100% without question.
Say that again.
The Cowboys are the best draw on the road.
When you watch a game, if the Cowboys are playing the 49ers, do you see
like which
more?
Team travels well?
Yeah,
fans. I think there's I'll make the case, but we could talk about that.
He's not talking about the team skill.
I know. I'm talking about fan base traveling.
It's not the Packers.
It's not the Packers.
They're not even close. Okay. Not even in the top.
They're
10.
Not. Yeah.
Okay. Let's bet on that again. You'll lose.
How are you going to?
First of all,
can't prove it.
Giants are in the top five.
But then why are we even having the conversation if it can't be proven? It's strictly your opinion because you're a Cowboys fan and your opinion.
I watched the game.
I don't even know what you're basing yours
on. I watched the game. The lower bowl of Kansas City last night was blue.
Oh, my God. You're right. I don't watch Packer games. That's crazy.
I don't know. This guy's putting up Boardwalk Empire during. Who knows what the fuck.
Who would have ever thought? Not during a Packer game.
I can tell you. Well, first of all, Dallas has to be number one. The Giants, because, you know, you forget tri-state area, there's 4 billion
the
people
Giants
that live
suck.
Here. Still doesn't matter.
The 49er fans took over our pool. That's right. That the Jaguars have that stupid, corny pool in the end zone where they have, like, parties out there. Which, by the way, probably not a bad place to watch a football game.
And I'll say this. The Packers definitely do that more than the 49ers do. You want to make the case for the Cowboys, I get that, because the Cowboys definitely have a traveling fan base.
No doubt.
But also, the 49ers aren't as much as the Packers. It's not even close to me.
I don't think the 49.
I'm just basing this off of what I saw in the crowd last night.
I know. I wouldn't put the 49ers in the top 10 of fans that travel to a game.
So let's hear it. No, let's not.
I got to look at.
So anyway,
now.
The Niners
it's
get
not,
it done.
But the certain teams, it just wouldn't like. It's not the Patriots. It's not, you know.
They're 500 now, as we said last week, and as I said on this podcast, I said that the 49ers would be that team to start creeping up on people because they can establish the run. They didn't even have Eli Mitchell yesterday, which, by the way, crushed me in fantasy. I had to start Nyheim Hines. It was awful. The 49ers have a well-balanced attack. They're playing. They played a bad team, and they took care of business. That's exactly what they had to do. Another team that, I took great pleasure in this one, even though I can't root for Washington and I don't want them to win any games ever, I did like the fact that Cam Newton was once again brought back to reality and his stupid I'm back tour was paused at home. Against the Washington football team. I'm not a fan of Cam Newton. I think his shtick is old, and I think it's tired. When he's scoring touchdowns, he's Mr. Happy. When he's not scoring touchdowns, he's putting a towel over his head, and he doesn't want to talk to anybody.
You know what kind of game he had? He had a Troy Aikman game, 21 for 27 for 189 yards.
Was that a Troy Aikman game?
Because Aikman used to be like that. 21 for 27, two TDs.
Yeah, but it was, in the Troy Aikman game, Emmitt Smith would have 220 rushing yards and three touchdowns.
Exactly right.
In this case, with the Hall of Fame offensive line.
Piggybacking off the conversation we just had, the Steelers definitely in the conversation of having the biggest.
Of course.
You see the towels everywhere,
yeah,
no matter
of course.
What.
You know where terrible towels are made?
China?
Nope.
Green Bay?
That's the same thing as the title towel. That's the same company, yeah. So that was a little thing that I carried into that Super Bowl.
That's a trivia question for another day. Every terrible towel
is made in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think there's some guy in China going, make it to
Also, there's one thing I wanted to talk about or mention before we leave, because it's about the 49er game, and it's one stat that I read that was so telling about Mike Shanahan's career as a coach, or Kyle Shanahan's career as a coach. They had a 13-minute, 22-play drive where they kicked a field goal.
That's
13-minute, 22 plays.
Wait, 30? Not 13-minute.
13-minute.
13 minutes?
13 minutes of NFL game clock, 22 plays, resulted in a field goal. That's Kyle Shanahan.
He's not on a field to have 13 minutes. Like, there's only 100 yards on a field.
Let me ask you,
are you kidding?
What's the record?
That's got to be a record.
Did you think I just made it up? Kyle Shanahan, 13 minutes, 22 plays, field goal.
Holy shit.
It means
like first down, handoff, second and seven, handoff, third and three, handoff, first down. Right.
Okay, but like,
so they didn't throw.
They just didn't throw.
Nobody's ever gone like the start of the third quarter.
I don't think it was the start of the game. I think it spanned over the
like second to second,
first into second, into the second quarter.
Wait, this is for Dave. You imagine you're watching a game, start of the third quarter, Cowboys are playing, and the other team gets the ball to start of the third quarter, and then you don't get the ball back
until the fourth quarter.
You're like, what?
And you're only down 3-0.
That's nuts.
Wait a minute, though. What? Somebody, one of the fans, Google what is the longest? What's the question?
What's the longest drive in NFL history?
But yeah. Shout out to Scoop though. He goes, that D stood up at the goal line.
That's true, man.
Wait, that's the ultimate bend but don't break.
That is 13 minutes long. I'm like, I heard a guy's getting gas, but you need like 14 like levels of your depth chart to get through that one.
The minute you bend but not break, you know your defense stinks. That's all I'm saying.
That's not true.
You got to get three and out. Three
depends on the offense you're playing. In playoff games, bending but don't breaking is
very important.
That's like say that's when your buddy goes, yeah, the girl was nice. She was cute.
I don't like her anymore, but that's fine. All right, anyway, Washington football team don't look now. Once again, the NFC East, as bad as Jimmy says they are, I agree, but they are now 4-6, and they are now 3 games behind the Dallas Cowboys. So, whatever.
So
three
what will happen if the Cowboys lose, Giants win tonight, beat the Eagles on Sunday? What's dogfight Monday here?
Yeah, we'll see. Speaking of the NFC East and a team that put up a 40-burger on a supposed good defense, the Eagles just absolutely sandblasted the Saints last night. What a disgrace. And I'm nervous. I am nervous. As a Cowboys fan who has blown so many bad things as far as the seasons are concerned.
Listen, if you guys don't win a division.
Son of a bitch, bro.
If you guys don't win a division, I would
fight. Yeah, I don't even think that we really need to have this actual conversation about the Cowboys blowing. We're 2 weeks away and 2 losses by you and 2 wins by them away from having that. Until they're within striking distance, I don't buy it. The Cowboys have a fairly easy schedule.
At this point, you have to be a game back.
You get what I'm saying? Like, Philly plays nobody. Looking forward, Dallas plays pretty much fucking nobody as well.
They all play the same team.
Yeah, but would you say you have to be a game back in the loss column?
Yeah, like, Philly, they're playing well, and I'm the one that talks Philly up more than anybody on this podcast. Philly, they do certain things well, but Dallas is a way better
team. You see that one play with Hurts? Like, just broke that guy's ankles. Poor
Hurts. Are you starting to be like,
I'm not.
Jalen Hurts is like a young Donovan McNabb to me. Very, very similar.
That's a very good comparison. I'm okay with that comparison. He's a young Donovan McNabb. I'm totally okay with that. He's not Lamar Jackson speed. He's not like got a cannon like certain people. You know, like, he's right there. You get that guy another competent receiver outside of Devontae Smith.
Yeah, but he's 13 for 24 for 147 yards. He ran the ball.
He runs the ball.
That's part of his offense.
He'll get hurt. He'll get nicked up, and then he'll be as slow as.
Listen, I don't think that style of play is sustainable. I don't. I've seen it. You know, people break down. Mike Vick broke down. You know what I mean? Like, guys break down. For now, the Eagles are playing winning football.
We're talking about a quarterback that's probably 10 to 12 starts into his NFL career. I think he's playing pretty well. They're 5-6. They're fighting. They're a team that could have easily mailed it in when they were definitely struggling 3 weeks ago. They won 2 straight where I believe they put up 40 in 2 straight games now, right? Was it Detroit last week or was that 2 weeks ago?
I don't know. But either way, they're scoring in bunches.
And they're doing what they're supposed to do against bad teams. The Saints' defense is at least formidable going into this week. I think that you're starting to see them struggle without the running game with Kamara.
But don't worry. Kamara will be healthy as a horse when they play the Cowboys
possible.
In 2 weeks.
It's possible the Eagles could be one of those teams we talked about at the top.
They make that second half surge.
That could be a pain in the ass in the playoffs.
They do things well. They match up well against certain teams. They cover really good. They play their defensive line is really good, and I think they block well. So when you do those things well, you could beat some teams that you shouldn't beat.
Yeah, no, I agree. Look, the Eagles are something to pay attention to in the back stretch.
Don't look now, but their head coach might be good.
Yeah,
that remains to be seen, but I like the way this team is playing.
At the end of the year. If they fight all the way through for this coach, then maybe there's something to them. Maybe.
He's not McCarthy.
Speaking of generic coach number 2 on Madden, and that's whatever the hell his name is, Cully over in the Texans, they shocked the world yesterday, and the Titans couldn't get it going. They lose to the Texans, folks. Nobody had this bet.
I almost moneylined this. Don't say I didn't have this bet.
You had this bet?
I didn't bet it, but I picked the Texans in this game.
You did pick the Texans. According to Keith Ernst, he put money on the money line for the Texans. I don't know if there's any truth to that. But were there, in any event, the Texans won a football game, and now they're now 2-8. They played up. The weather was bad. There was nothing. Like, the Titans had nothing going on offense. It was brutal.
Classic case for the Titans, again, of playing to their opponent's level. They've done it several times this year. They've lost games to the Jets, and now they lost the game to the fucking Texans.
And the Texans stink.
They beat really good teams, and they lose to really bad teams. That's not a good sign. But at the same time, when you have this kind of shit happening, it's not too indicative of your team in a big matchup, because they do win big games, but you got to get there.
Nick Schein brings up a good point as we go back to Philly real quick. They do have 3 first-round picks next year. So, like, this team can get good
relatively quick if they cash in on him. There's been so many draft picks that the Eagles have completely ruined.
Do they have the Giants pick this year?
No.
No, the Giants got the Bears pick, so.
No, the Eagles have the Dolphins and the Colts. The Colts pick based off of Wentz is playing, but that's going to happen. Like, he's going to play 75% of the snaps.
I just know there was a weird NFC East thing, like a little round robin.
The Cowboys and the Eagles traded in the draft, but it didn't affect this year. Or next year, sorry. So that game is a wrap. Now, don't look now. The Indianapolis Colts, who are now featured on HBO's Hard Knocks series as an in-season thing, you might want to tune in now because they're a team to watch because of a guy named Jonathan Taylor. This kid is absolutely nuts. He's so good at football. And shout out to Evan because he always says every time I say somebody's good at football, he's like, you know where you got that, right? I'm like, yeah, I know you. And then he got it from Bill Simmons. But anyway, this team is good. I mean, this team is starting to play.
Bill Simmons is a fucking tool.
I know. Evan loves him. But this team's starting to play good football. And their defense is complimentary. Complimentary. Hello. Yeah, Mondays, right? Mondays. Misery Mondays. But they're playing good football. Carson Wentz didn't suck, Carson Wentz didn't stink yesterday. Jonathan Taylor is really good at football. And the Buffalo Bills have not beaten anybody yet for me to think that they're going to be a threat. They're going to be a contender. They're in it. They're going to be in it, right? But I don't know if the Bills even get out of
the Bills are looking like a wild card.
I don't know if the Bills get out of the East.
I didn't see any of this game. Wentz was 11 for 20.
I have to fucking give myself credit on this, by the way, because preseason I was the only person that I know. The only person that I know that I said the Bills aren't going to be as good as they were last
year. You said
they
would regress.
They're going to regress. They're definitely regressing.
Yes.
The Colts, on the other hand,
they don't have a running game.
The Colts have been that's their biggest Achilles heel because their best running back is their quarterback, and he doesn't want to run anymore because he signed that big contract, which correct. I understand.
Yeah, of course.
And really, look at their receivers outside of Diggs, who that's the only guy you really have to take out on that offense. They got an aging Emmanuel Sanders, who I believe is a good compliment, but Beasley, you're starting to see what these guys actually are out there.
But as far
as the Colts go, the Colts have been playing good football basically all year. They just haven't been getting on the right side of things. They played the Rams really tough. There's a couple games where you look back in the beginning, they're a couple plays away from being, a 7-8 win team, this Colts team.
And Carson Wentz has the ability to do certain certain things well, but then there's always those, like, he's trying to make too much out of something. Now, I'm going to ask you this question off this topic, but specifically on that style of play. Do you believe in quarterbacks? Jimmy goes for you too, even though you'll probably say no. Do you believe in quarterbacks that try to make something out of nothing regardless of the result? Meaning, like
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre used to do the whole,
I do not.
Just try to do something because he wants to continue to play instead of taking a sack or going out of bounds or anything like that. He's trying to make something out of nothing. Regardless of the result, you don't buy it? You don't buy into that?
No. That's 90s football. That shit doesn't fly now. The analytics, you got to keep the ball. You can't turn the ball over. And if you are going to turn it over, it has to be on a punt. Don't turn the ball over. Turning the ball over is the worst thing you could do because of two things. One, A, the field position, and then two, the momentum, especially on the road. You turn the ball over on the road, you receive a punt and you call a fair catch, you get the ball, the crowd's just going to the bathroom. When you throw a pick on the road, that's a game changer. The crowd changes. Everything changes.
I think for a quarterback, the biggest thing, and I think Aikman was talking about it yesterday during the Cowboy game, I think the quarterback's biggest thing is when to run and when to tuck it away and run and when to pass. There was a couple of times Dak was like, what should I do? A couple of times.
Dak's been holding on to the ball.
You see that with Mahomes, too, where Mahomes wants to make the play when you should just take off. And Troy Aikman is talking about Mahomes, where he's like, he has room, but he just won't tuck and go. He would have had a first down on that one play. I know you know what I'm talking about.
Because sometimes when a quarterback, even if they only get 7 yards, it was like a good 7 yards. He didn't get hit, but he committed. You know what? There's nothing here. I guess
in a world of high percentage throws, like this is probably not analytically a good decision to extend the play. You know, just live for another down. Nick Schein just said that.
It's like that cross field back foot pass that you float. In today's game, the secondary, you float one like that.
They're too fast in the NFL. Now, I asked this question off of what we're talking about, but more so about the Colts. And I know that we have the Patriots coming up, or we actually talked about the Patriots on Friday. Would anybody really be surprised at this point, the way the AFC looks, to see a Colts-Patriots AFC championship?
No.
Honestly, I feel like they're playing the best out of all the teams in the AFC right now.
Listen, Frank Reich has the recipe. He's done it. He's gotten the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? As an offensive coordinator, he's gotten to a Super Bowl, and he's won the damn thing. I hate to admit it, but he won the damn thing. You know what I mean? So he had a really good press conference after this win, emotionally driven. Frank Reich is a good coach, man, and I think that it starts with coaching. You saw it in the Dallas game where, you know, one coach was way better than the other, and I'm not talking about head coaches. I'm talking about the coordinators itself. But, like, in this regard, Frank Reich has his team playing inspired football. They got a young team with a splash of veteran leadership, like your T.Y. Hiltons of the world. You know, like, that guy's out there balling as well. He's still catching balls. And, you know, Carson Wentz still on the right side of 30. You know what I mean? Like, he's still
young. When I look at the Colts, I'm looking at a team like Philly. A lot of similarities in terms of even Frank Reich and the style of play.
Yeah.
They're Philly, but they play better defense. They have a better defense than Philly does. They're better against the run. They're probably not as good in the back end, but it all starts up front. Their offensive line is top three in the league when they're all going.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference with Philly and the Colts is Jonathan Taylor. You Nick got Schein. That one guy on offense that could change everything.
Nick Schein trying to throw some cold water on our Patriots takes. He said the Patriots have not beaten anybody yet. Let's see the Titans, Bills, Colts, Bills stretch before we anoint them the AFC champions.
Remember the John Madden thing. It's who's playing well between Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's when, like, the NFL really kicks into gear now.
I know.
We said that in pre, me and Chris said, this was the time where we're going to find out, like, as much as you're, you know, you have the shtick that's the stinks teams, this is where you're going to find out who can survive in December.
Who out of the teams that everybody thinks stinks because of the results that we've gotten to this point, who actually doesn't stink? But Nick, he talks about the stop it. Patriots haven't beaten anybody yet. Well, Mac Jones is 5-0 on the road, right? They haven't really gotten blown out by anybody besides the Saints. All three of their losses, I believe, other than the Saints loss, you could combine and it's 4 points. I think they lost by one twice or however many they lost to the Cowboys. But you get what I'm saying. Their losses aren't big.
And remember one thing. Patriots have a decent head coach.
And also remember, remember another thing. If they're playing this well on the road right now, going into New England in December is not an easy thing to do. So this is Patriots. This is all lining up for the Patriots to actually
be successful.
The stars
are definitely aligning for the Patriots to have a nice little stretch, but we'll see. A team that the Cowboys will be taking on Thanksgiving are the Las Vegas Raiders, who are now losers of three straight. Once upon a time, the Raiders were 5-2 and they were rolling, and now they're 5-5, meaning angry Raiders team coming into Dallas. So anyway, but again, you got to be emotionally charged. The team that we kind of wrote off a little bit, said that you know they were reeling a little bit, are the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Mixon goes off yesterday for $120, which is nice for me because I'm thinking if the Raiders' run defense stinks, it could be a good game for Zeke. But looking at this game as a whole, the Cincinnati Bengals are in a very, very hard division to get out of, considering the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Browns. Where do you see the Raiders right now? Dropping another game, a third straight, and now surging are the Chiefs and the Chargers. Are the Raiders going to find themselves in a lost season relatively quick, Gooch?
I mean, I feel like it was a lost season when Gruden got fired or resigned.
They have not done well since then.
The Henry Ruggs situation. What sums up their season, the Raiders, is the DeSean Jackson play where he catches a bomb and he has a clear wide open path to the end zone. And instead of running towards the end zone, he like runs back towards the line of scrimmage and gets the ball popped out.
Fumbles, right.
And he fumbles. That's the Raiders season in a nutshell right now. They can't get out of their own way as well as they've played at times. They just shoot themselves in the foot. This is a big letdown game. I thought that the Raiders, if there was going to be any fight in them, it would be this game, and they completely shit the bed. I know you're apprehensive because of the short turnaround, but they're getting a Dallas team that's coming off of a loss at home. I don't know if the Raiders are in a good spot right now to right the ship, although the Dallas situation is a little bleak at receiver.
I got a philosophical question. If the Cowboys were to lose on Thanksgiving Day against the Raiders.
To a team that's lost three straight.
Right. Do you think, now you're big on bashing McCarthy, and you're halfway.
I'm like halfway home on him.
Is McCarthy a decent coach at, during the games? I know you can't stand him, but that's when you need a head coach. Like if the Cowboys were to lose, now they're 7-4. You think McCarthy's the guy to keep that ship? All right, guys, everybody calm down.
Well, here's where I'll say this just based off statistics, right? In McCarthy's career, he's got a 61%.
Such a skewed stat, though. We've had this conversation, too.
Fine. 60% winning percentage after a double-digit loss, right? And 30% of that, they get a double-digit win in the next game. So McCarthy is known to bounce back.
But do you realize?
Yes, here's the caveat.
Here's the caveat is that Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre were the quarterbacks of those teams. Well, so Dak is good. I'm not saying that they don't have the potential.
He's now contributing, but
here's the thing. Their receivers being a short week, that's the one thing you look at with Dallas, and you're like, ooh. Because if
they got to run the rock.
Cooper might get back in time.
No, he's not. He's not.
Oh, it's definitely. Well,
he's not vaccinated.
Oh, all right. That's so Cooper's out for this week for sure.
Yes.
CeeDee Lamb is, it's like, I would say 90% probably done because of the concussion protocol.
I would rule that.
But at least they get to prepare that way going into it.
Do you think the Cowboys as a team beyond their coaching, or that you think like Dak and Elliott, these guys can they really haven't done much.
The Cowboys are 7-3. Right, the Cowboys are 7-3 right now in a division where they right now still have a 2.5 game lead with seven to go,
and they play some fucking shit teams, so that helps because wins are
100%. Yeah, in the regular season, and I've said this time and time again, I don't care who you play.
No, I don't
win the game.
When I say that
in your schedule,
when I say that,
win them.
When I say that, I'm not saying it's a knock on Dallas. I'm more so saying why I think that the Cowboys will be all right even if they lose this week when it comes down to the division. I don't know if they're going to get the seed they want if they lose this week, but as far as playoffs go, the Cowboys are pretty much a lock for a playoff team at this point, even if they lose.
I mean, last week at 7-2, all the next gen stats or whatever had Dallas in the playoffs 99.9%.
Yeah, it's like Dallas.
So it's
lose.
Like you
is
would
Dallas
going
to go out there and lose.
You would
to
have
the Giants,
to literally
Washington and
you would
Philly.
Literally have to take a knee on the rest of the year for them not to make the playoffs. Yeah. Agreed. So because we just talked about it. We said 9 wins will probably get you in. That means the Cowboys are 2 wins away from that 9 win platform.
Yeah,
you know. So look, the Raiders though in their season in general, they need this on Thursday for them to stay afloat. They need this, so that's what scares me. They played highly emotional the week after Gruden was gone because of that. You know, week after interim coach, let's rock and roll. This is our guy, and they went out and they won. Then the Ruggs thing happens, right? And now it's just like, holy hell! Like the floor has kind of fallen out from under them. I don't count out the Raiders. I just don't.
I'm not nervous
because of the way the Dallas offense operated against a middle of the pack defense yesterday. That's where I'm at. But the Raiders need it more, obviously. But the Bengals now, just real quick, are we still on them? Kind of just they're not going to be as good. Like they're going to be right there. Like,
very,
you know,
similar,
I mean,
to the rest of the AFC, where you just don't see the one team that stands out.
Yeah.
Look, the Ravens right now I think are in the driver's seat out in the AFC, and the Bengals just beat them in probably their biggest win in the last 10 years in that franchise. I don't know, they've gotten into the playoffs, but. One of their biggest regular season wins to prove that they belong, and then they shit the bed back-to-back weeks, losing to the Jets and then losing to the Browns.
Right.
But, look, as it stands now, they're a game out with a win over the team that is ahead of them. So if things line up next week, you could see the Bengals in first place week 13 in the AFC North. So, no, they're not done by any stretch.
According to, they
could still be the one seed in the AFC, which is fucking crazy.
The pick bish, Dina Simpson coming in. Bad press killed their momentum. So that's obviously the stories that were out there. It's funny, Nick Schein also said Gruden was the offensive coordinator. You know, he got the game plan together once he was out. This team could not recover. So that could be true, but whatever. The Cleveland Browns barely escape with a win over the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions are now 0-9-1. And I don't know if you guys knew this, but before yesterday's game, we were already middle of November, and the Detroit Lions were the only undefeated team in November because they had a bye and they tied. So, therefore, they were undefeated in November. That is now over. They lose to the Browns 13-10. This is alarming for the Browns not to get it done. Baker Mayfield is beat the frig up, man. He is so not himself, and it stinks. And, you know, they're coming up with innovative plays. I don't know if you saw that one play to Jarvis where he was supposed to throw, and then he realized, oh, I got 20 yards of green grass in front of me. I'm just going to take off and go. Improvisation. That one. What is wrong with me today? I can't. It's the Cowboys
lose
the game.
I can't speak.
Disoriented.
The Jets lost again.
Yeah, I know. It's just tough in the household with the Jets losing as well. My son's favorite team all of a sudden. The Browns are roughed up. They're 6-5. They're in that division where they got to run with the rest of the, you know, the Mohegans over there being good teams. I don't think the Browns can separate themselves going forward. I like this division to be wrapped up by either the Ravens or the Steelers. That's the way I see this division playing out. Gooch, you same?
I mean, I still think it's the Ravens to lose. They lost to Cincinnati, and they're still a game ahead of them. When they meet again, that's probably going to decide everything. The Steelers, they just don't have enough firepower with Big Ben to sustain it, I think, going forward. It's going to get colder. Big Ben, I just anticipate him getting banged up.
I think the tie's going to bite him in the ass, too.
Yeah, they might get one win short because of the tie. The Ravens, their quarterback got the news that he was starting when they got off the team bus. Okay, Lamar Jackson. All right, this is where I have a problem here. Okay, yes, did they get the win? Sure. The Ravens won the game despite not having Lamar Jackson. The kid starts his first game of his life. He plays well enough. They get the win 16-13 over the Bears. My problem is this. Lamar Jackson, you are an NFL player. If you don't have COVID, in which it takes you out by rule, then your bitch ass needs to play. Do you need to play, bro?
No, I think, bro, when you have a virus and you're contagious, you can't play. It would be like, let me go take a shit in the, you know, how many times are you going to take a shit in the middle of a game? He already did that last year. Right? But also, the entire Ravens team got decimated. So, like, other people were getting it. You can't put a guy out there that's going to get the entire front, both teams sick. You just can't do it. It's not COVID. It's not life-threatening.
This isn't school, man. You tell me these guys don't play with common colds all year round?
Common colds or something.
Common colds is just as contagious.
Listen, okay, common cold is one thing, but being incapacitated where you're throwing up and shitting like almost like a food poisoning.
Get him an IV.
Stop, Dave.
He's a pro, bro. Stop. He's a pro.
You realize what you're saying.
I can't do it.
What you're saying is like it's not even about whether he could tough it out or not. If he's getting people sick, you can't play. It's like going and being like a teacher. It's be like, oh, you're sick. Go get the entire class sick. Or a student has a test that day. It's like, you got a big test. You got to go to school. No. If you're sick, you got to stay home. You can't do it. Even though he was in the
facility. This is very counter.
Would you be able to do the podcast if you were puking and shitting all over right now?
I was talking to Mike. Yes. No. I would do a remote from the bathroom.
Well, I could tell you this.
Coming to you live on the Flipping Man Easy
situations.
Toilet.
I've had some situations with kidney stones in the last year.
That's where there kidney was zero, stones,
yeah,
bro.
But I wasn't necessarily feeling kidney pain. I was like feeling sick from it where I wasn't fucking doing no podcast that day. I could promise you. Right?
Yeah, that's why my podcast dropped late in the afternoon. Maybe.
Oh, here we go. No, but listen. Maybe I'm too old school with this theory, but I think you're upright, then you better go play.
Nah, bro, if you're sick, you're sick.
Nah. I feel like that's counter to everything you stand for.
No, there's levels to this. If you got a fucking bone bruise that you could play and walk on, play. But if you're sick, being sick is fucked up, bro. If you've got cold sweats, you can't even... You ever get sick where you just can't take your head off the toilet?
Yeah, but did they...
You can't play football that way.
I saw him on Friday. He had did a press conference like everything was fine. That's the problem. You see him saying like, oh, yeah, I don't know, man. Taco. Just not feeling good. Okay, well, then just get your ass in the game. But don't
the doctors or the team doctors, like who? A lot of these decisions are not made.
Yeah, it's not like Lamar Jackson was like, nah, guys, I ain't feeling it today. That's never the case. It's almost rarely ever the case. And if it is the case, it's a case where it's like Ben Simmons and he's getting fined. You're not seeing NFL players. There's too much on the line as far as respective teammates. You don't think Lamar Jackson wanted to play? The team doctor's like, nah, bro, you can't give it a go.
These young kids, these whippersnappers. Somebody asked, did Dave imply that Lamar Jackson should have tried to play through uncontrollable shits? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. He did it already.
Jackson and rolls right, shitting himself, fires over.
So the real story here was this kid kid that beat Lamar Jackson in a conference game in high school. Like the quarterback is the backup to Lamar Jackson, beat him in a state championship in high school, right? Battled his way onto on and off rosters, and now he didn't get drafted. I think there was 15 quarterbacks.
Did you see his post-game interview?
And he ends up fucking getting a game-winning drive. That's the real story here, not Lamar Jackson's asshole.
Did you see his
interview?
Sometimes I wonder. was high school hard? Sometimes I wonder, like, dude, I don't know if he got past that level. I'm not sure. But
hey, he could read a defense.
He could read it. Yeah, right. He might not know the ABCs, but boy, that guy can read a defense. And that's fine with me. That's fine. Listen, he gets the win. The Ravens win, and now they're 7-3. So they're top spot in the AFC North. And that's it. That's the slate. So before we go, obviously, we got to talk a little bit about the Bucs and the New York Football Giants. Now, the way I see this is that, according to Bucs media, they couldn't get a smile out of Tom Brady the entire week. You have yourselves a very pissed off GOAT coming in to play the New York Football Giants in Tampa Bay. This game might get ugly. That's just my opinion. I think Tom Brady goes in there
shows everybody, hey, everybody, I know we lost two straight. I know we had a bye in between. I know you guys are trying to write me off, but I just drank a whole shit ton of kale juice, and I'm going to smoke the New York Football Giants.
Well,
now, I will preface this with I am NFC heavy. I want the Giants to win this game. I need the Giants to win this game, right? So I'll preface it with that. I'm not saying because I want the Giants to lose. I'm saying because I think Brady's going to bitch slap them. That's what I think.
I, again, beginning of the year, I mistakenly said that Rodgers and Brady were going to start to show because they're both 70 years old. Eventually, they have to start to suck. And I really was only half right there in that Rodgers looks homeless and now his toe hurts and all that stuff. So he could be on the downfall just yet, even though he was good yesterday. And Tom Brady, eventually this Tom Brady thing, this show, I mean, I feel like
he's a cyborg.
It's not like
Jimmy.
It's Les Mis. This thing has to stop. Maybe this is the night where the Tom Brady tour.
I would agree with you. If there was Strahan, if there was Justin Tuck, if there was Antonio
Giants
Pierce
got,
down
Giants
your throat.
Got all the receivers back. They played well last time. They had all the receivers back 2.5 months ago, so no excuses.
Is this also, like we're talking Tom Brady heavy here, but is this also the measuring stick to determine if Daniel Jones is your guy going forward? Because look, by year three, Josh Allen had turned that shit up. It's crunch time for Daniel Jones. He's got Tampa Bay on a big spot. He's beaten the Bucs before. I've seen it. We've all seen it. Can he do it again?
I think I get a feeling the Giants are going to win today. I'm talking as a fan though. Obviously Brady coming in, that's just a tall order. But I will say this: if they win tonight, the Giants are well on their way to getting. They don't play any. They play teams that are not that good the rest of the way.
Giants
can make the playoffs.
Giants are on your list of this.
So if the Giants, according to Jimmy Palumbo, right now,
tonight, the Giants
host
have
of the Jimmy
Giants,
Palumbo.
If they win tonight, Giants will make the playoffs.
Whoa. I mean, now you're just doing it for clicks.
No.
There's no way you believe that. There's no way you believe that. There's no way.
They'll be 4-6.
Okay.
Okay. And then who do they play the weekend? Who do they play next week?
They got the Eagles next week.
Okay. Well, it's over. Again, no matter how good the Eagles are playing, those games are always close. And when they play the Cowboys again, those games are always, tough games for the Cowboys, even when they're good, or reverse when the Giants are good. So the Giants, why not?
Listen, I like the confidence, but let's.
Dude,
you got anything for this one?
I do. Yeah,
all right, go for it.
I think that the Tampa Bay defense is struggling right now. They can get it going, and this is the time where they normally would get it going down the stretch. Tom Brady also kind of struggling right now. Just because he's not smiling in press conferences doesn't mean that he's going to definitely go out and win. Obviously, the Giants being who they are helps, but you can't discount the fact that he's 48 years old, right? And his receivers are old, banged up. I don't know. I think Antonio Brown was clear to that whole COVID bullshit. That was just wolf tickets.
He's ruled out, though.
But the Giants' receivers are starting to get healthy, and if there's one glaring thing on the Bucs' defense is they cannot cover anybody. Two of their best defenders are out for the year. I don't think Bunting's coming back at all. And look, this Tampa Bay team, they just haven't been themselves. The bye week can fix that, but you can't just say because they have Tom Brady that they're going to go out there and play well.
Well, we've been saying that for 20 years.
I think Kadarius Toney's going to have the game of
his
life.
This isn't the playoffs, though. So Tom Brady, will the Bucs be good when it comes down to it? They're going to get into the playoffs, and then that's when you have to worry about them. But right now, I just don't buy into the Bucs at all. Since we're picking the game, yeah. I'm going to pick the Giants because 11 points. The Bucs play down to their opponents pretty much the same way the Titans have this year. Until they blow a team out, I'm going to have to buy into it. I'm not going to buy into it, I mean. So I'm going to pick the Giants plus 11.
Jimmy? Oh, you already picked the Giants. You think the Giants will win out, right?
I think the Giants are going to win, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with Tom Brady right now. I'm going with Tom Brady to win this game. Listen, or at least cover the number, but again, by Dallas Cowboys standard, by my Dallas Cowboy fanhood, the Giants beating the Bucs right now would be a very good thing for the Cowboys. It would be a good thing for the Packers. It would be a good thing for all these NFC teams that are looking for bigger spots.
I think Tampa Bay is going to win the game. I just don't think they're going to put it on them the way everyone thinks.
All right. Well, we'll see. According to Nick Schein, Tampa Bay's defense, overrated, got lucky last year going against Green Bay and Kansas City, who are both missing important linemen, KC, all five starters. Well, look, again, how many times have we said this? That Tom Brady, like, off a loss, like a shitty loss where people start to talk about him a little bit? Like, I don't know, Tom.
What's Tom Brady looking like on Monday night lately, too? I'm pretty sure he's not great.
I don't know. Was he on the Manning cast last week? Because then he's definitely going to lose.
Tom Brady's going to look like 11 years old in the fourth quarter tonight.
We're going to watch. If you are watching, be sure to watch.
The new Dorian Gray.
If you're not a Giants fan,
watch it on ESPN normal, but you're going to get to hear Eli Manning call his beloved Giants on
Manningcast. I thought he wasn't doing Giant games.
No, he's doing it. It's him and Peyton tonight. So
show's good.
The most overrated show on TV.
Oh, Jesus Christ. He hasn't given it 1 minute of airtime.
When you don't care, when most of the teams stink, it's a great thing.
Gooch has not watched one.
I think it's fucking
cringe. He watches it on Twitter where like they do the highlights. Right. Even though there's not really highlights.
It works. When you don't care about the teams playing, it works. I won't be watching it tonight.
No.
Maybe in the second half, the Giants getting blown out. I'll switch over.
Well, if Kyle Kerm's chiming in at the very end of our show, if you want something really eye-opening, look at Tom Brady's numbers on the road versus at home. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are home tonight. I think he gets it done. But that'll do it. It's been a long one. Of course, Misery Monday here at Shop Sports.
Great Monday.
It's a great Monday for Jimmy. His team is not lost yet. Tomorrow, we're going to try to get Jimmy to phone in maybe. Talk about the
Misery Tuesday.
Misery Tuesday as we're all heading into Thanksgiving week. We hope everybody enjoys. Here's your stat right here. Home, 18 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And his
are you guys doing a show Thursday?
We will not. All right, so here's a programming note. We are going to be live today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Wednesday, as a matter of fact, according to, I think we might invite some guests. We'll see if that happens. Also, I want to say that Thursday, we will be taking the day off. I'm sorry, all you people out there that are relying on us to be here every day. We will be back on Friday, probably remote. So
maybe,
me at home.
Maybe instead of playing football, you should come here and do a quick show on Thursday.
Maybe I'll do a remote cast from the I'll go live in Chop Sports. I'll put a GoPro on my head and see everybody can see how slow I am.
Just you warming up would be would
just
be
stretching. Just like this is not good. What?
Yeah, no, I can't do the show Thursday. Regardless, I got work.
You're here. You working. This is your work, Chris. Anyway, with that being said, it is from Sturch and Gooch. I'm not wrong. For Sturch and Gooch, and of course, Jimmy Palumbo, who will be recording another episode of the Jimmy Palumbo Show today. I'm sure he's got a lot in store for that banger of an episode. And don't worry, everybody, it'll be available on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play at 6 a.m.
This episode is going to be named Analytics.
I'm with it.
Because that's what we're doing today after the show. We're going to talk analytics.
Yeah, because I'm tired of getting can we learn from this? That's another in that voice of why. That's where I got that. What can we learn from this? Like, you keep coming at us like it is 1,000% our fault if somebody doesn't click play.
I never say it that way. I just, as soon as I mention the word.
I'll take the blame. I'll fall on the sword.
No, you mention the word, how well's the show doing? And I get, it's like, what? Well, I guess silence stays.
Ah, yes. But you know what? Before we even go, be sure that if you're not busy on Saturday night, so Carteret, New Jersey.
Live from Carteret.
Chop Sports is in the house. So you got Jimmy Palumbo live on stage with Mike Marino and
call
company.
Call up tickets tonight. Check out my Twitter.
No. CatchARisingStar.com. Sorry, I got that wrong. CatchARisingStar.com. Buy your tickets right now.
It's a beautiful theater. If you live in Central Jersey, you got to check this place
out. And tickets are flying. So be sure to get them right now and go check them out on Saturday. Unfortunately, the owners of Chop Sports will not be there. Yeah, so it's unfortunate.
The Packers and Cowboys show will not be there. The daily show that I'll you guys do here.
Gooch will be in the crowd with his cheese head. I'll be out there like doing the.
That's
like,
quite all right. As long as you send your family.
We're going to send our entire families and friends to the show. And I think we lost Jimmy. Jimmy just hung up on us. But anyway, with that being said, see you guys tomorrow.
We also didn't talk about the Bud Crawford and Sean Porter boxing match that took place over the weekend. Sean Porter retired, Bud Crawford finished it.